Okay, I think everybody can hear me. Great. This morning we're going to look at some things sort of in the vein of what we've been looking at the past few weeks and regarding words and spoken words. Last week, if you remember, we closed with an example of authority that has been given unto men, something that God has given us to do. We looked at the examples in God's word in, I think it was Acts 5, where the men were, the apostles were put in prison, and the angel came and released them from prison and told them, go, stand, speak in the temple all the words of this life. And then we looked at the record in Acts chapter 10, where the angel went to Cornelius and told him to send to Joppa and to look for Peter. And it would be Peter that would speak the gospel regarding Jesus Christ to Cornelius. You know, these are words, or this is a responsibility, rather, given by God that not even angels violate. And it is a responsibility, and it is also a great privilege that we have to speak words to people that will issue an eternal life when believed. Isn't that something? And that we have that opportunity. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 12. We're gonna look at a verse there. Something else that has been given us to do by God. It's a responsibility, as well as a great privilege, is prayer. There are many, many scriptures that we could go to and show the importance of prayer. But the thing that, you know, just to consider here is that this is something that God has sort of put in our lap. He has given us to do. And with that comes responsibility. But also with it comes authority. See, as the children of the Most High God, and doing what He says to do. There's a great scripture. You guys are familiar with this scripture in Romans chapter 12. It says, in verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, it says in the King James, but it means to be persistent in prayer. I want you to turn, please, to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to go there in a few moments. You know, in thinking about this, there are some of the great events that we're aware of, that we know of, that we read in God's word, happened during times of prayer many times, or were led up to in a time of prayer. Jesus Christ in Luke, we're not going to turn there. You can look at it on your own if you like, but in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, that's when Jesus Christ was baptized, and when the heavens were opened and the Spirit descended upon him, he says he was praying. Isn't that something? He had been baptized and he was praying when that happened. Another great record in Acts chapter 1, and it's talking about those men before the day of Pentecost, leading up to the day of Pentecost as they were waiting in Jerusalem. The word says they were continually in prayer. Acts chapter 10, when the angel appeared to Cornelius, we looked at it last week, thy prayers and alms are come up for memorial before God. Peter, when he, in that same record, when he got the revelation, you know, that which I've cleansed, don't call thou unclean. He was on his rooftop praying. Really something. something to consider. In Acts chapter 12, another record, Peter, when Peter was in prison, and it says that they were praying for him, and that's when the angel released Peter, and you know, he went to the house, and they were all in there praying. Really something. So you see that. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 14 because we have been given a lever of prayer that is, it's just remarkable. It takes my breath away when I really think about this. You know, last week we closed, or we didn't close with, but we considered how that the first thing that was done, the first words that were spoken in this great administration of grace, this great administration of the mystery, the first thing that was spoken were words from the spirit realm into the physical or the material realm. That's right. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues was the first words spoken. And spoken by spirit. I can't, you know, it's difficult for me to stress how extraordinary that is. And I really don't fully understand it, but it's a big, big deal that that was the first thing that was done in this great administration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, follow or pursue after charity or love, and desire spiritual gifts or things of the Spirit, things that pertain to the Spirit, spiritual matters, but rather or more and more that you may prophesy. 4, verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and it should read simply tongue, he that speaketh in a tongue or speaks in tongues, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. The reason why it's a mystery is because it's not something that's understood. Typically, it's not something that's understood. There was an exception on the day of Pentecost where different men from the different regions where those languages came from could understand. But yes, typically speaking in tongues is not understood. And it's a mystery because it's between, you're speaking from the Spirit to God himself. That's something. It's just, it's remarkable. Words toward God, see. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at something here in light of this. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 17. And then we're going to skip, and I want to skip that parentheses, and we're going to jump down to verse 26. Well, let's start in 16. So the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be or since it is that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now we're going to jump down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. Okay? Now we're going to see what that infirmity is. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. See, or as is necessary. See, we don't know. We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit itself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, prayer is a necessary thing. It's all throughout the scriptures. Jesus Christ taught this. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. See? So it's a responsibility as well as a great privilege, see? But we have an infirmity in that we don't know what to pray for as is necessary. but God has given us a lever of power. That is, it's amazing. It's amazing that we can speak words. We speak them when we speak in tongues. We do it. We make intercession for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Look, I don't know what that intercession looks like. I don't know because I don't know what the need is. But I know it makes intercession, and I know it's exactly according to the will of God. And when we speak in tongues, the purposes of God are being accomplished. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible, the privilege that we have to do, to pray for one another. I'd like for you to turn to, we're going to go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. We're going to, these are records you're familiar with, but these are the records of when Jesus Christ, in teaching his men about believing and about prayer, where he cursed the fig trees. One of the fig trees was cursed while they were walking in to Jerusalem. Then we're going to look at a record where on the next day they walk into Jerusalem and he again curses a fig tree. So with that, we're going to go to Mark chapter 11. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. It says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happy he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it." Now this seems rather odd that he answered the tree. It's really beautiful. At this time of year, this tree should have had some buds, indicating that it would produce fruit later. But there was nothing on it, not even the little sweet buds. So, in a sense, the tree was speaking. It was speaking to Jesus Christ. See, I will not produce fruit, at least this year. I'm not producing fruit. Well, Jesus Christ answers the tree and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And the disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer or allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this is the next morning, okay? They had gone back to Bethany that evening after the events that we've just read about, and now they're on their way back into Jerusalem. So in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Believe God," or have faith in God, meaning believe God. That's right. Peter remembered that Jesus Christ had cursed this fig tree the day earlier. And here it is, it's withered. It's dead. And so he brings it up, and Jesus Christ is going to teach him something. Believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Look at that. Say, Seth, Seth. When you have the word of God, you got the word of God, and it's got the power of God behind it. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe. This desire is something that perhaps in the future we'll spend a little time with, but there's a verse, I believe it's in the Psalms, for example, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, it's in the context of committing to God. It's when our desires line up with God's desires, when our desires line up with the word of God, when our heart lines up with God's heart. See, we build the word. Believing comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We build that in our hearts. See, it's really a great truth. And so when we have the word of God, we have the word of God. It's got the power of God behind it. Once you got the word of God, quit praying, act on it. See, you don't have to pray about it anymore. You got it. It's really something. I want you to turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And we're going to pick it up in verse 18. It says, verse 18, now, in the morning, he returned into the city. He hungered. Okay? So they had seen, this is right after Peter had pointed out, Master, the fig tree you cursed yesterday, behold, it's withered. Jesus Christ teaches them about believing and about prayer. So in the morning, they returned into the city. He hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently or immediately, the fig tree withered away. This one immediately died, withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? I mean, it blew their minds. Not that it died necessarily, but how soon, how quickly it died. They saw the other one. It happened overnight. This one was immediate. Jesus answered, verse 21, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, if you have believing, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, thou shalt ask in prayer, believing, you shall what? You shall receive. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Praying with believing, you shall receive. What an incredible, incredible truth here. You know, I'll tell you something. That tree, that first tree that we read about, that Jesus cursed, and Peter saw it the next day. Hey, when did it die? As soon as Jesus cursed it, that's when it died. But it took 24 hours for it to show. See? That's right. The second tree he cursed, when did it die? At the same time when he said it. But it was manifest immediately, which is what so blew the men's minds, that it happened so quickly. You know, it makes no difference. It's the Word of God. Once you've got the Word of God, you got the power of God behind it. You know, sometimes, and there's a great, great lesson in that, great truth in understanding, believing, and in prayer. When you have the promise of God, when you have the Word of God, God Himself backs it up. We may not see it manifest immediately. Okay? We may not. It may not be till the next day. It may not be till the next week. But when you speak what God's Word says, what you need to picture in your heart is that that is the power of God being released. Isn't that something? You know, what we can do for one another, what we can do for people, just in blessing and you know, interceding like this by speaking in tongues, by building the Word in our hearts, and then speaking God's Word to one another, speaking God's Word to others, and prayer, you know, the power of prayer. It's our privilege. It's our responsibility. It's just amazing. And that we have that responsibility and that privilege to pray what the Word says, pray those things that God has given us to pray for those things that God has put on our heart. And man, the power of God gets carried out. Isn't that something? And we're a part of that. See, we're a part of that. I want to look at one more scripture. We're going to close here in the book of James. Book of James. Excuse me. Book of James, chapter 5. Boy, what a great truth these things are. God doesn't pray for us. We pray. He asks us to pray. He encourages us to pray. In James chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "And the prayer of believing shall save the sick," or the weary, the faint. "The Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." It's amazing. That prayer of believing. Verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another." This confession of faults, again, it's not in the sense of, you know, confessing your sins, this kind of thing. But really, it's the context of prayer. See, you know, sometimes people tend to be pretty guarded, and I've seen it with saints. You know, "I've got it all together. I've got it together. I am the epitome of the renewed mind." You know what? We've all got flesh. We've all got weaknesses. We've all got shortcomings. We've all got areas where we need help, where we need help from our brothers and sisters. Isn't that something? So it's in the sense of that, of being aware. You know, we're not, having a need is not a sign of weakness at all. We have flesh, see? But going to God in prayer is a great sign of strength, see? It's really something. And so that's the heart of this, confessing your faults. It's just, if you have a need, boy, you get with a brother or a sister and encourage them, ask them to pray with you or to pray for you. You know, whatever's needed. What an awesome thing. And man, when the church is firing on all cylinders, this is what it looks like. It's just awesome. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Isn't that something? The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man. All of us who have called on the name of Jesus Christ are righteous. We're righteous before our Heavenly Father. We're righteous in Christ. We've been made righteous in Christ. And the prayer, that fervent prayer of a righteous man, avails much. Much. Now look, I don't know how much is, but it's much. And I think God knows how to use the word much. I don't need to know how much is. What I
need to know is that my prayer avails much. Your prayer avails much. You know, if you walk away with anything, boy, just considering the responsibility that each one of us has in praying, in speaking in tongues, see, it builds you up and it makes intercession for your brothers and sisters. It's just a win-win. Isn't that something? And you're speaking words into the air from spirit, boom, into the air. And they're words that perfectly line up with God's will. It's breathtaking. See, that's right. These are great keys that we can walk in and walk by. So that's what I wanted to share this morning. And I love you guys. And hey, let's spend some time praying. Let's spend some time speaking the word one to another, okay? Love you much. God bless.